Well, welcome to 2016. It's our first formal public meeting, I guess. I don't know how you feel, but I thought 2015 was a really interesting year. It had its exciting points, had its challenges, had its highs, had its lows. But when I think of where God has brought us to right now, it's wonderful, and I just really, I thank God for His goodness and His grace upon us as a church, and all the things that He's done with us. It's just tremendous, and it's just great. But as I think about that, and I look at where we are, and I see the life and the excitement that's within us as pastor of the church, it's kind of interesting, really, because along with those positive feelings comes a great sense of responsibility, kind of a fear. Fear is a bit of an overstatement, but a fear of how do I maintain where we are, and in fact more than maintain, how do I make sure that we move forward from where we are today? Because is what's happened, is it what's round the corner, for example, the kind of things that you might think. Is this a kind of just a honeymoon period that we're going through? When is it going to kind of, are we all going to crash down to earth and hit sort of normality? And terrible thoughts, really, but I hope you would agree they're kind of understandable thoughts from someone who's responsible for leading a group of people. You've seen their excitement, you want to make sure that we don't lose what we have. And I think I shared this a few weeks ago, but when I was with Tony Martin, who's the pastor of the church in Glastonbury, when I was with him for a short while, one of the things that he said to me was, don't think of, when I was sharing with him all the good things that God was doing in the church, he said, don't think that you're in a honeymoon period. This is how it is. What he said to me, this is how it is. And what he meant by that is, what we're experiencing and the life and the freedom that we have, this is what we are. It's not for a period, it is what we are, and that's how we should see it. And I think that's fantastic, because what I see at this time, I think I see us as we're a grassroots church, and that doesn't sound a negative or derogatory thing. It's a grassroots church where the life of God and the excitement of God and the word of God flows upwards, not just downwards. It's not me all the time bringing things, or Dave or any of the leadership. It's flowing, if you like, from the grassroots upwards, and there's an excitement as we work together. And me and the leadership and everything, and grassroots. Obviously, from my point of view, I need to continue to walk obediently to God. I need my spiritual antennas constantly tuned in to what God wants for us as a church, where He wants us to go, what He wants to teach us, etc. And make sure that we keep moving forward in the purposes of God. But that's true of every one of us, isn't it? I mean, that's not just my responsibility. Every one of us, if we're a grassroots church, we need to keep ourselves totally tuned into God so that we move into everything that God wants for us. The question for me, though, is there something else? Is there something else that God wants to develop within us that's going to help us to move forward and experience, what He wants for us? Because the last thing I want for us is to kind of slip into, going through the motions. And you know how I feel about that, don't you? It's going through the motions is something I just detest. Going through the motions is when we kind of come to church and we do our stuff and it's all great, but somehow it lacks that sense of direction, it lacks that sense of purpose. We're just doing it. And I'm asking God, and I'm before God, what is it that's going to keep us as a church moving forward purposefully? And just before Christmas, I've been reading through the book of Acts. This is just part of my daily readings. And I came across the story of Peter and Cornelius. And I found myself just mulling this story over in my mind. And the more I mulled it over, the more God kept speaking to me, and it just kept more and more and more. So, over the next 2 weeks, this week and next week, I want to share, you know, just some of the things that God has been saying to me personally, but also, I believe, for us as a church. And this week, I want to talk about dreams and visions. And I don't think this is anything I've ever preached on before, so I'm in unfamiliar territory. And you might think it's a bit strange, but God's really been speaking to me about dreams and visions. And there's a really well-known scripture in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. It's a beautiful scripture. I've always loved this one. It says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days I will pour out my spirit, even on servants, men and women alike. Now, when I think of that scripture, I think to myself, well, you know, as a church and personally, we don't do too bad on the prophetic. I think we do quite well at hearing God and knowing what God wants. And that's great. And I'm sure that there's always room for improvement on anything in the things of God. But I started thinking to myself, but what about dreams and visions? He says, your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Where are our dreams and visions? It's entirely biblical. And, you know, for the women there, you know, you're not excluded just because it says men. You know, your old men will dream dreams and your men will see visions. Later on in verse 29, it says men and women alike. Okay, so we're all included here. Where, you know, are our dreams and visions? And you know that I've always encouraged us to use our imagination. This is something I've often talked about. I think imagination is an important thing that God has given to us. I don't know whether animals dreams. I suspect they do. When I have the cat on my lap, you know, quite often he'll be twitching away as if he's running, you know, running after a mouse or something. I don't know. So I suspect animals dream. But we certainly dream, and we certainly imagine things in our minds. We do it a lot. And I really feel that, you know, that it's dreams and visions are an important part of establishing and moving forward the kingdom of God. And so, you know, I really want us to look into this morning. And in our story of Peter and Cornelius, the whole thing starts with, you know, dreams and visions. So if you want to turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 23. You can turn to it. It is on the slides there if you just want to follow on the screen. This is the New Living Translation. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment, and he was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. And he gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. And one afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. Cornelius, the angel said. And Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. And as soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and he sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius's messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. And it was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. And in the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. And then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat them. No, Lord, Peter declared. I've never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean. But the voice spoke again. Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. And the same vision was repeated 3 times. And then the sheet was suddenly pulled up into heaven. And Peter was very perplexed. What could this vision mean? Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. And standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, 3 men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs and go with them without hesitation "Don't worry, for I have sent them." So Peter went down and said, "I am the man you are looking for. Why have you come?" And they said, "We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He's a devout and God-fearing man, well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message." So Peter invited the men to stay for the night, and the next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. So we're going to stop there, and we'll pick up the story again next week, okay? So we'll just stay with it for this week. So I want to summarize, you know, today's message. I can summarize it in one sentence, actually. Just one sentence, that we need to learn to dream again. Okay? If you just go away with that, that'd be fine. We just need to learn to dream again. But I want to break it down into three headings. I want to look at the prophetic nature of dreams. I want to look at the prayerful nature of dreams and visions. And I want to look at the practical nature of dreams and visions. And I want us to understand that dreams and visions play a vital part in spreading the gospel. And that's what we are here for. This is for that. We talk about that, don't we? It's all about the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And dreams and visions play a really good part. Next week, we'll look in more deeply into, you know, how Peter and Cornelius actually responded to the dreams, what they did. And some of the things that God spoke to me about that, and things like the need for building bridges, the need for tearing down walls, and these kinds of things that God has been saying to me. But that's for next week. This week, we're going to focus on dreams and visions. So, prophetic nature of dreams and visions, prophetic dreams. Now, when I use the term prophetic here, or prophetic dreams, I simply mean inspired by God. Okay, that's all I mean by the word prophetic, inspired by God. So we're not talking about dreams like, you know, dreaming your Superman saving the world from, you know, evil enemies. We're not dreaming about winning Wimbledon or winning the Formula One. We're not dreaming about being God's gift to, you know, to women. Not that I've dreamt any of those dreams. We're not talking about any of those kind of dreams. I don't know what kind of dreams women dream about being married to Darcy or something like that, you know. I don't know, you know. But it's none of those kinds of dreams, okay? None of those kind of dreams. We're talking about dreams that have a kingdom of God purpose, a kingdom of God meaning, and the dreams that have been inspired by God. Now, we find visions a lot, and dreams a lot in the Bible. There's loads in the Old Testament. Can you think of some of the more obvious ones, dreams in the Old Testament, visions and dreams? Daniel, loads of visions about in the book of Daniel, and Daniel had what other people had that Daniel interpreted. Joseph, well, that's in the New Testament.
Oh, I didn't hear you say Old Testament.
Yeah, Old Testament. We'll come to New Testament. We will. Yeah, he's having a dream over there. Sorry,
Joseph in prison.
Joseph in prison, the dream's there. There's a dream on the picture there, isn't there? Joseph before he was in prison, yeah. Jacob's ladder, yeah, that was. Here are a whole few. You know, God's covenant to Abraham was given to Abraham through a vision. There was Jacob's dream, you know, the ladder that went into heaven. There's all of Joseph's dreams, we've mentioned those. God's covenant to David was given through a vision to Nathan the prophet. There was all of Ezekiel's vision, remember the dry bones, it's a well-known vision. And there's all the ones in Daniel, full of dreams. Okay, what about the New Testament? Well, we had Mary, yeah, and Joseph.
Cornelius.
Sorry?
Cornelius.
Cornelius, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I didn't think of that one. I'll just put them up. It's a little bit harder in the New Testament, actually. But Paul and Ananias, you know, when Paul was told to go and see Ananias, and Ananias was told to go meet Paul, it was all done through visions. Paul had a vision to go to Macedonia. And he also had a vision to remain in Corinth. Well, you know, there's loads there, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So visions played a really important part, and particularly in the New Testament, you know, these visions, you know, were clearly linked to God had a specific purpose. He wanted to spread them the good news of the gospel of Jesus to a person or a group of people. And these instructions came through visions. Now, why on earth do I want to talk about visions for 2016? Well, it's like this, really. I feel that we've begun a journey as a church, all of us, myself and you. And it started with this idea of noticing. Yeah, we notice. And remember I shared about Nathaniel, when Jesus said, "I saw you," sitting under the fig tree. And what we've been learning together as we've gone about our daily work is that, God has been encouraging us just to notice situations, notice people for whatever reason that you need to go and interact with. And as we've responded in those situations of noticing, God has been able to do, really good things. The thing about noticing is it's very much in the moment, isn't it? You'll just be doing something and suddenly you will notice. And you'll kind of get, some sort of arrested in your spirit and think, and you feel something and then you kind of respond in the moment. Well, the thing about dreams and visions, that's more about preparing you for the moment that God wants you to notice. If you like, he wants to tell you in advance, ahead of time, that that there's something coming up that I want you to be aware of, a situation that I want you to notice, and I'm telling you now so that you can be ready. If you like, God wants to kind of just step us up a gear or two. Now, you might think I'm absolutely bonkers, talking about dreams and visions, what planet is Richard on here, but I'll be honest with you, it's something I'm feeling in my spirit. It's not something I would say that I feel particularly comfortable with or familiar with. I do know that I've had situations where I've had a very clear image. I was thinking about this just yesterday, actually. I think, what was one of my clearest, I would say, visions? And I think I probably have had plenty, and I'll explain why I think we've probably all had plenty in a moment. But there's one vision particularly stands out in my mind. It was many, many years ago, back in the days of Bristol New Covenant Church, and we were Dave Jones and we were in Speedwell Hall. But this was so vivid, I've never forgotten it. And I remember sitting in that meeting, and I pictured somebody's eye. Not two eyes, I just pictured what a person's eye, and I could see it as clear as daylight, and this person looked upset, looked burdened, and even though I could only see the eye, I knew exactly who this person was. I mean, truly, I did. I recognised this person from this one eye. And in the middle of the meeting, I got up out of my seat and I sat next to this person. I said, "God has just given me a picture." I said, "I saw this eye, and I saw a tear in the eye. I felt this person was burdened, and it was you." I said, "And I know it was you." And this person burst into tears next to me. I said, "Just a few moments ago, I was praying to God. I said, God, I just need you to touch me." And those two moments beautifully came together. Now, I can't say I'm doing this all the time. I'm not, But as I rewind my clock backwards, I remember that moment and how powerful it was. But it came through an image, a picture in my mind. And I feel God wants to kind of nurture something new in us all about dreams and visions. And as strange and weird and crazy maybe as it is, I just feel God wants us to give it a go. And, will it be taking risks? Could it go wrong? Well, yes, it could go horribly wrong. But for me, I think one of the hallmarks of our church, and I hope this is coming across because I say this many, many times now, maybe even like a broken record, it's really okay to make mistakes. It really is. We've got to go for things, and sometimes I'll work and praise God, that's fantastic, and we all love our testimonies when things go right. And sometimes they won't go quite so well, and not to plan. And often we feel like we want to keep those to ourselves. We don't like sharing our failures, because that's not very good. And we had a great home group just before Christmas. And I remember Alison, you know, shared, you know, that she'd had this feeling that, you know, she felt she should go into town to meet the lady on the fifth floor, is it, or something like that, lady on the fifth floor, to give her something. And so, feeling that was what God was telling her to do, she went into town, but she couldn't find the lady. She wasn't there. And Sally also had a similar experience. She didn't share it, but I found out after the meeting that she had a very similar experience where, you know, she went, kind of felt inspired by God, went looking, you know, to give something, but it just didn't happen, you know. And I was blessed at the fact that, you know, that story was shared to us all. And was I sitting there in judgment thinking, well, you clearly didn't hear God, did you? How pathetic, you know. I didn't say that at all. I'll be honest with you, I didn't even feel it, you know. And I certainly did not say it. What I did feel, and hopefully, you know, I would have communicated in some way, is well done for trying. Well done for trying, you know, and keep trying. Because the more you try and the more you step out in faith, the more you'll start to learn how to hear God, the more you'll start to realise the difference between, you know, what really, really is God and what really isn't God. And the chances are, it really was God anyway, because God teaches us through things that, you know, don't go always to plan. I mean, you know, I'm not asking any of us here to take giant leaps of faith. The prophetic word to us as a church has been now for a few years, small steps of obedience. That's what we take. And we just keep taking step after step after step, and we trust God. You know, and if we fall over sometimes, then we just get up and carry on. I mean, baby steps are all about falling over, don't they? I mean, babies fall over all the time. What do? They get back up and they take a few more steps and they fall down. And we all go, ah. You know, we don't get upset with children when babies fall over. You stupid baby, you know, come when you're going to learn to walk properly. We don't do that. You know, it's pathetic, isn't it? You know, we love seeing babies try. And eventually, the more they try, the more they walk, and then as they walk, then they run, and then they become a pain in the neck as they get to teenagers. But we just keep trying. And church, this is what I would just keep saying to you time and time and time again. Look, as we experiment, if you like, in the things of God, as we reach into the heavenly places, we feel God is saying this and we go for it, don't worry about making mistakes. And most importantly, it's really important that we share these things so that we can learn from them. So first of all, you know, the prophetic nature of dreams and visions, you know, I believe God wants to speak to us through our imagination. And I think that the pictures and the dreams and the images that we have, you know, if we start trusting God and we start expecting them, we'll have a kingdom of God aspect to them that are prophetic, that will encourage us to do things or be prepared for things, or who knows what it's going to be. I just want to sow that seed to start, you know, tapping into something that God has placed within us. I want to move on to the second thing, the prayerful nature of dreams. Because if we go back to the story of Peter and Cornelius, what we find from here is that in both cases, Peter and Cornelius, when they each received their vision, they were praying. That was the context in which they received their dreams and their visions. And in fact, if you look through most of the instances in the New Testament, at least, of dreams and visions, it seemed to me to occur mostly in the context of praying. Now, you know how I feel about prayer, which is why we had our prayer initiative, you know, just before Christmas. I feel prayer is so, so important. And when I think back to what we did in November, and I think of how it energized us. Now, if I misinterpreted it and I got it wrong, so be it. But it seemed to me that as a church, we came alive in that period of time when we were really seeking God and we were firmly wanting God to speak to us. And it was just fantastic. But we can't rely on the prayer initiatives, as good as they are. And I will want to put some more in because I think they're important. But we need to develop a lifestyle of prayer, you know, all of us. And I know it's difficult, but you know, that's what we need to do. And I think it's as we pray, we can allow God to place images in our minds. Now, we often say, don't we, when we pray or when we read our Bible, I felt God saying this. Who's ever made that kind of statement? You know, I feel God saying this. Well, do you really feel God? You know, I mean, this is feeling, isn't it? You know, I rub Dave's shoulder here. That's feeling. But we know, we're not talking about that sort of feeling. So what feeling are we actually talking about when we say, I feel God? It's a feeling that's happening inside of us, isn't it? Now try and think about, okay, well, what's going on there when I'm feeling God is saying something to me? You know, is it just a bunch of words that are coming into your mind? Or are you imagining something? Think about it. Because I reckon, I'm going through this process myself, so I'm maybe just only one step ahead of you at this moment in time, okay? But I've been thinking about this, and I'm starting to realise that often when I say, I feel God saying something to me, actually, I'm picturing things in my mind. You know, I'm imagining what I'm saying. I feel God is saying this. And I'm realising that perhaps, you know, I'm having visions, I'm having dreams, but I'm not calling them visions and dreams. I don't allow my imagination to grow. You know, I've kind of constrained it. It's something I feel down here in my heart or down here in my spirit. You know, that's kind of what I've concluded. But as I thought about it, I thought, actually, I'm sure when I say I feel God, it doesn't come with the absence of pictures in my mind. I'm sure those pictures are in my mind. If I think back to many times God's spoken to me, if I think about it, I have had pictures in my mind. And I think God wants to awaken our imagination again. You know, it is something I feel passionate about. Many times I've said about it, but God wants to use our imagination, and he wants to wake us up to the reality that it's always been there, and we're probably always using it. You know what it's like when somebody says, "Well, can you hear that noise?" And you've not heard that noise until somebody says, "Can you hear that noise?" And then suddenly you kind of tune your ear in, and you can hear the noise, you know, and then you can't not hear it. You know, because once you've kind of tuned into it, it just won't go away. Even if you're doing something else, you know, you can hear it. It's there, but you just didn't notice it before until somebody said, "Can you hear that noise?" And I'm kind of wondering whether, you know, by saying to us all, "Look, I believe God wants to speak to us in our imagination using images and dreams and visions, colour." As we do that, you know, as we realise actually that is how God's going to speak to us, you know, we start tuning in to the more imagination capability that we have. And then, so once we're tuned in there, because God can just fill us, but we kind of have to get ourselves lined up to the fact that God wants to speak to us in this way. So tune in and turn on our imagination. Now, in Joel chapter 2, if you remember what it said, he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh. That means you and me. And old men will dream dreams, young men will have visions. And this is not just for the leaders and the prophets, okay? Because you kind of feel that, you know, we talk about, you know, I'll pour out my spirit and you'll prophesy and dream dreams. You often think about, you know, leaders and important, gifted people, you know, coming out with these incredible visions and prophecies and things like this. But, you know, the scripture went on to say, didn't it? It said, even for the servants, even for the servants, men and women. Now, you might think, well, that's kind of a derogatory statement, isn't it? Are you kind of implying that, you know, I'm a servant? Well, we don't have to look at it that way. What God was trying to communicate in that scripture was this gift of being able to prophesy, this gift of being able to see in our imagination through dreams and visions. It's not just for the elite, you know, the Elijahs and the Moses and the Jeremiahs and the Ezekiels. This gift of being able to see God in our imagination is for every single person, everyone, you and me. So this isn't a gift that's for me as a pastor of the church or any part of the leadership team. This gift is truly for everyone. You know, and I believe as we become more of a people of prayer, you know, God will help us to see this. Now, I know that we're all busy. You know, we all have busy schedules, and it's kind of hard to schedule prayer into our lives. But I want to encourage us at the beginning of 2016. You know, if we want to increase that sense of prophetic, that sense of God ownership, that sense of God direction in everything that we do, we have to make time to pray. It has to become part of our lives. And I believe as we do, you know, God will help us, and he'll prepare us to notice things. You know, we all want to notice. We want to go out to work. We want to go to family. We want to go to school, whatever it is. You know, we're praying for God, help me notice. Well, God will speak to your imagination before that, and will help you. He'll help you notice. And just the last thing on prayer. It's ironic, really, that one of the things often we fight against when we pray is falling asleep. You know, you've ever found that? You know, and you pray and you close your eyes. The moment your moment is quiet and you close your eyes, or maybe you have some music play, you go into kind of cloud cuckoo land, don't we? You know, we sit there and, you know, we're trying to pray. And, oh, pray, you know, focus, you know. And before you know it, you're kind of drifting off again, and you're daydreaming. And we fight it, and we think it's wrong. And yet this is exactly what happened to Peter. He said Peter fell into a trance. Well, you look that up in the dictionary, it's essentially he fell into a bit of daydreaming. Well, if it's good for Peter, then it's good for us. And God used that situation for Peter in order to speak to him. In fact, it's even more interesting. Peter was hungry, and it was lunchtime, and they were cooking some food, all right? So put all those ingredients together. It's lunchtime, they're cooking food, and he's hungry. And he went off to pray. What's he going to dream about? Food. You know, it's wonderfully natural, isn't it? You're going to laugh at some of the humour of the Bible sometimes. But there he is, trying to pray, his mind drifting off, probably of McDonald's burgers and things like this. But actually, you know, he started dreaming of all this food. But God used that to speak to Peter very powerfully about something he needed to do. And we're going to come on to what God had to teach Peter next week, and it's really, really important. But what I learned from this in the context of visions and dreams is that the very thing sometimes that we try to fight when we pray, perhaps we shouldn't fight it at all. Perhaps we should just let ourselves daydream, drift away, perhaps like some of you are even now. But, you know, just dream. And then come back to land again, and then try and think about, you know, God, are you speaking to me? And if he's not, don't worry. Doesn't matter. You know, there's no legalistic going on here, you know. But allow your mind to wander, actually, rather than always trying to pull it in and be in control of something that actually God wants to tap into. Because you shouldn't control your imagination. It's almost, you know, paradox. It's not the right word, but you know what I mean? Our imagination, you should let our imagination go. That's what imagination is. And if God's going to tap into imagination, then let it go. Just let it go. Finally, the practical nature of dreams and visions. We, you know, we see in this story of Peter and Cornelius, in both cases, it was very practical. You know, God wanted them both to do something. Very straightforward, you know. For Cornelius, he had to send for Peter. For Peter, it was a little bit more complicated. God had to do a few things, before Peter was ready to actually do what was required, which was to go and see Cornelius. But in both cases, you know, the vision that they had was to do something. And, you know, and this is classic God. You know, he doesn't want us to be confused. He wants things, you know, to be very clear. And, you know, again, Sally's not here, but Sally was a classic example of, you know, in the time of when we were praying the prayer initiative and we wanted to reach out and notice. You know, Sally had this idea of just getting, you know, filling a bag with ladies' goodies, ladies' stuff, okay? I won't go into what the ladies' stuff was, but it was ladies' stuff in the bag, I believe. so that she could give it to somebody who had need. But how practically is that? You know, and I can imagine, I mean, only Sally could validate this. I imagine she imagined it. She pictured the bag. She pictured the kinds of things that we're going to be putting. Hey, that's a vision. You know, that's a dream, whatever you want to call it. You know, she probably imagined, and she did it. It was a very practical, you know, what does God fill your minds of things that you could do? You know, don't always think, well, that's a silly idea. You know, maybe God is just tapping into your imagination to do things. And he doesn't want us to be confused. You know, often God will speak to more than one person at the same time. So, you know, God both spoke to Cornelius and God spoke to Peter. They both had dreams. They both had visions, you know, and they aren't necessarily the same vision. I mean, if you look at the vision Cornelius had, and particularly the first vision that Peter had, they were totally, totally different. But when you put them together, they made sense. And this is why it's really important that we learn to share with each other what it is that God says. You know, if you think back to the prayer initiative that we had in November, one of the most exciting things for me was hearing the common themes that kept coming through. You know, God was saying very similar and very compatible things. It may not have all been identical, but when you put it all together, it's like there's a beautiful, you know, picture puzzle, if you like, that's in the heart and mind of God. And he gives each one of us different parts of that picture. And as we bring all those parts together, we see more of what God is wanting each of us to do, and how in our togetherness we are to respond as a church. So don't think that, you know, the little bit of picture that you have is insignificant. I just encourage us, let's share and let's share and let's share, you know, because, you know, as we bring these things together, you know, it encourages us. And the other thing, the other practical way that God speaks to us and teaches us is repetition. I mean, it's kind of all obvious, really, but, you know, it's a very practical thing. You know, if you want somebody to get the point, keep telling them till they've got it. And for the case of Peter, which was a big thing, you know, God had to tell Peter three times the same thing. And, you know, three is an important word in the Bible. It says, you know, this is really, really important. And God just keeps telling you. So if you find in your prayers or in your imagination, something just keeps coming back time and time again, just doesn't go away, then you should allow yourself to step back from that for a moment and say, God, you know, maybe there's something really important here. It's like when Samuel was called by God, you know, three times he was called, and the fourth time Samuel realized that actually, you know, this really is God. So, you know, God's very down to earth, very practical. If he wants you to know something, he'll keep telling you time and time and time again. So that's where I want to stop for this morning. It's really a kind of a prerequisite to next week, because next week I want us to look a bit more deeper into the actual dreams that they had and what they meant and what God was doing, but mostly what God has said to me about us as a church in terms of, you know, the need to build bridges and the need to tear down walls and the need to, you know, allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work amongst us. And all that is in this story of Peter and Cornelius. But for now, I'm hoping that I just tapped something new for you, that, you know, there's something important about dreams and imagination and visions. That, you know, Richard, the pastor of New Life Church, is saying it's okay to daydream. You know, I do it all the time, and I get myself into all sorts of trouble because, you know, I'm not in the, you know, I do get accused of drifting out of conversations, you know, and I'm somewhere else. I don't know if that's a man thing. I think maybe it's just me. I don't know. But I guess I'm not suggesting you do it all the time. You have to choose your moments, otherwise you will get into trouble. But please daydream. But allow God to use your imagination as a daydream. You just allow yourself to sit there, put music on, and think. and dream and imagine, because it's a capability we have that maybe God wants to use this year to take us up to another level, to extend his gospel, which is how it all worked in the New Testament, and to do great things. Amen.